On July 4th, 1776, the Liberty Bell rang out in Philadelphia. It proclaimed the United States a free and independent nation. But 1 year and 6 months before, a fiery American patriot had made his own personal Declaration of Independence from England.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
These passionate words, spoken by Patrick Henry one March day in 1775, swept through the colonies like wildfire. They struck a chord in the hearts of many colonists who for some time had been thinking that this was indeed the choice facing them, liberty or death. They objected bitterly to the unfair taxes and laws laid down for them by their mother country, England. British troops had been sent to frighten them into obedience, but these troops had only united the colonies in a fighting spirit, which was expressed in the Liberty Song.
Come join in hand, brave Americans all, and rouse your bold hearts at fair liberty's call. No tyrannous acts shall suppress our just claim, nor stain with dishonor America's name. In freedom we're born, and in freedom we live. Our purses are ready, steady, friends, steady. We'll fight and we'll conquer again and again.
For many years, while the people sang of freedom, their leaders had continued to try to get along with England. They had sent numerous petitions to King George III. But one leader, Patrick Henry, had always spoken out fiercely for the rights of the colonists. Back in 1765, when he was a delegate in the Virginia House of Burgesses, he had raised his voice against the Stamp Act. So daring were his words that there were shouts of treason from all sides as he said,
"The General Assembly of this colony has the sole right to lay taxes and impositions upon the inhabitants of this colony. Caesar had his Brutus, Charles I his Cromwell, and George III may profit by their example.
Treason! Treason!
If this be treason, make the most of it."
Due in large part to the bold leadership of Patrick Henry, England was forced to repeal the Stamp Act. But in 1773, she put a tax on tea. Colonists in Massachusetts, dressed up as Indians, dumped a boatload of tea into the Boston Harbor in protest. This dramatic act of defiance caught the imagination of all the colonists from New Hampshire to the Carolinas. Later, the Boston Tea Tax was recorded in song.
And t'other day the Yankee folks were mad about the taxes, and so we went like Injuns dressed to split tea chests with axes. We made a plaguey mess of tea in one of the biggest dishes. I mean we steeped it in the sea and treated all the fishes. Fal-de-ral-de-ray, fal-de-ral-de-ray, and treated all the fishes.
England immediately sent more British troops to Boston. This only further united the colonies. Patrick Henry's colony of Virginia issued a call to all the colonies for a meeting to discuss the united interests of America. The result was the First Continental Congress, which met in Philadelphia in 1774. Patrick Henry was a delegate. Once again, this patriot showed his gift for capturing, in words, the spirit of the colonists when he took the floor to say,
"Where are your landmarks, your boundaries of colonies? The distinctions between Virginians, New Yorkers, and New Englanders are no more. I'm not a Virginian, but an American. All America is thrown into one mass."
It was the first time a public figure had used the term American. But the colonists were beginning to be Americans. The First Continental Congress, speaking for all Americans, sent a list of complaints to King George III. But writing their complaints down was not enough for many colonists. They started forming their own fighting groups, such as the Sons of Liberty and the Minutemen. They were singing such defiant songs as Free America, written by a Minuteman, Dr. Joseph Warren of Boston.
Born from a world of tyrants beneath the western sky, we'll form a new dominion, a land of liberty. The world shall own we're masters here, then hasten on the day. Oppose, oppose, oppose for North America.
With the growing tension about to explode into actual warfare in 1775, the colony of Virginia called a special convention. It was held in the little wooden church of St. John, which still stands today in Richmond, Virginia. A spirited debate came up over whether to raise a militia for the defense of the colony of Virginia. This had already been done elsewhere, in Massachusetts, for example. But many of the Virginia leaders were not ready to face the blunt fact that Americans would have to fight England for their rights. It was during one debate in St. John's Church that Patrick Henry made his most famous speech. In the words of a friend who was present, Henry rose with an unearthly fire burning in his eye. He commenced somewhat calmly, but the smothered excitement began more and more to play upon his features and to thrill in the tones of his voice. The tendons of his neck stood out white and rigid like whipcords. His voice rose louder and louder until the walls of the building and all within them seemed to shake and rock in its tremendous vibrations. Patrick Henry opened this speech with a statement of his right to speak his opinion.
Mr. President, different men often see the same subject in different lights, and therefore I hope that it will not be thought disrespectful to those gentlemen if, entertaining as I do opinions of a character very opposite to theirs, I shall speak forth my sentiments freely and without reserve. This is no time for ceremony. The question before the House is one of awful moment to this country.
Patrick Henry went on to tell how unfair England had been to the colonies. He believed that it was useless and hopeless to make any more appeals for justice.
I have but one lamp by which my feet are guided, and that is the lamp of experience. I know of no way of judging of the future but by the past. And judging by the past, I wish to know what there has been in the conduct of the British ministry for the last 10 years to justify those hopes with which gentlemen have been pleased to solace themselves. Is it that insidious smile with which our petition has been lately received? Trust it not, sir. It will prove a snare to your feet. Ask yourselves how this gracious reception of our petition comports with those warlike preparations which cover our waters and darken our lands. Are fleets and armies necessary to a work of love and reconciliation? Let us not deceive ourselves, sir. These are the implements of war and subjugation, the last arguments to which kings resort. I ask gentlemen, sir, what means this martial array if its purpose be not to force us to submission? And what have we to oppose to them? Shall we try argument? Sir, we've been trying that for the last 10 years. Shall we resort to entreaty and humble supplication? What terms shall we find which have not been already exhausted? Let us not, I beseech you, sir, deceive ourselves longer. Sir, we have done everything that could be done to avert the storm which is now coming on. We have petitioned. We have supplicated. We have prostrated ourselves before the throne. Our petitions have been slighted, our supplications have been disregarded, and we have been spurned with contempt from the foot of the throne. There is no longer any room for hope.
As Patrick Henry told of how badly England had treated the colonies, his voice smoldered with excitement. Perhaps right there and then, he talked himself into believing that the only solution was for Americans to fight for their freedom from England. His passion was felt by everyone present.
If we wish to be free, if we mean to preserve inviolate these inestimable privileges for which we have been so long contending, if we mean not basely to abandon the noble struggle in which we have been so long engaged, and which we have pledged ourselves never to abandon until this glorious object of our contest shall be obtained, we must fight. I repeat it, sir, we must fight. An appeal to arms and to the God of hosts is all that's left to us.
Patrick Henry knew that he was calling upon the poorly armed colonies to fight the mighty power of the British Empire. But he had faith in the strength of any people fighting for liberty. He believed that they would win. He believed, too, that now war was inevitable, that it could not be avoided.
They tell us, sir, that we are weak, unable to cope with so formidable an adversary. But when shall we be stronger? Will it be when we are totally disarmed and when a British guard shall be stationed in every house? Shall we gather strength by irresolution and inaction? Sir, we are not weak if we make proper use of the means which the God of nature hath placed in our power. 3 millions of people armed in the holy cause of liberty and in such a country as that which we possess are invincible by any force which our enemy can send against us. Besides, sir, we shall not fight our battles alone. There is a just God who presides over the destinies of nations and who will raise up friends to fight our battles for us. The battle, sir, is not to the strong alone. It's to the vigilant, the active, the brave. Besides, sir, we have no election. If we were base enough to desire it, it is now too late to retire from the contest. There is no retreat but in submission and slavery. Our chains are forged. Their clanking may be heard on the plains of Boston. The war is inevitable. And let it come. I repeat, sir, let it come.
Now, Patrick Henry, his face pale and his eyes glaring, became terrible to look upon. Men leaned forward in their seats, with their heads strained forward, their faces pale, and their eyes glaring like the speaker's. His last exclamation was like the shout of the leader which turns back the rout of battle.
It is in vain, sir, to extenuate the matter. Gentlemen may cry, peace, peace, but there is no peace. The war is actually begun. The next gale that sweeps from the north will bring to our ears the clash of resounding arms. Our brethren are already in the field. Why stand we here idle? What is it that gentlemen wish? What would they have? Is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God! I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death!
1 month after Patrick Henry made this impassioned appeal to Americans, actual warfare between the colonies and England did break out. But it took another year and a half before the colonies adopted the Declaration of Independence, thereby formally declaring their freedom from their mother country. That document reflects many of the thoughts and ideas expressed by Patrick Henry in his famous speech at Richmond. In that speech, Patrick Henry sounded the keynote of independence by capturing in his eloquent words the spirit of Americans who would rather die for liberty than live without it. These words of Patrick Henry will be remembered as long as there are men anywhere in the world who hold freedom dearer than life.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.